We are joined now by my good friend, Howie Carr, the Boston talk radio king, the prolific author who's written extensively about crime in Boston, and also back in the 1980s, I think it was, Whitey Bulger, who's now no longer with us, put a hit out on you. Howie, what, tell us about that.
Yeah, he liked the fact that I was writing about his brother, particularly. His brother was the president of the Massachusetts State Senate, a Democrat. You know, there is an anti-Trump angle here. Elderly Democrat slain in federal custody. Trump has no alibi. You know? I had never thought of that until just now, but there it is. You know, even though Whitey was not a big fan of Barack Obama. That's one reason they got him, actually, after he was on the lam for 16 years. He went crazy talking about Barack Obama one time. And a woman, when he was hiding out, when he was on the lam in Santa Monica, California, and a woman remembered it. And when the federal marshals took over the dragnet for him after 16 years, the FBI, who had been paying off for years, wasn't getting the job done. She recognized him and collected the $2 million reward for it. But he was a terrible person, as you guys know. Probably he was a guy who had a record for bank robbery, cocaine dealing. He was a serial killer. He was a pedophile, and he was a staunch Democrat.
Howie, I saw it on the I guess it was on Fox News yesterday. You were talking about one of his murders. He killed a father and then called the house.
Right. He called the house. He killed his girlfriend, who's still in prison. They think she knows where the money is, or they suspect she knows where the money is. There's millions they can't find. He killed two of her brothers-in-law. Believe it or not, two of them. Two brothers-in-law, and so after he killed the second one, he just he tricked him into something. They were, one of them was a gangster, the other one was just mistaken identity. He just saw him riding in his brother's car, so he shot him. And so he did was he buries the body. The body's disappeared, all that. It's over. And so what happens is he does this call to the house, and the little son picks up the line and says hello. And it's right before Christmas, and Whitey said, "Your father's not coming home for Christmas." And the kid says, "Who is this?" And he says, "Santa Claus." And that's it. The guy actually told that story at the sentencing of Whitey Bulger. I mean, that's a true story. I'll tell you another true story I just thought of recently. I wrote a book about the guy who worked in the gang, Hitman. He was John Moderato. He was actually the founder of the gang. And he one time killed a guy down in Florida for the gang, and he left the body in the trunk of a car at the Miami-Dade airport. And after it was over, Whitey called him up and started yelling at him, this hitman, you know, the guy who actually founded the gang, and said, "Why the hell didn't you have a boat? Why didn't you take the body out in the boat, chop it up, and feed it to the sharks, so nobody would ever find it?" And that's the kind of guy he was.
So you've written a book about it. How do people get that book? And I understand you have a Whitey's Dead special going on. It's HowieCarrShow.com. You can go there?
We do have go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the store, and we have a Whitey Bulger Dead special. It's a book about the trial for $14.99. And I have other books as well. You can order them on Amazon. Brothers Bulger, Hitman, the book that has all the some of those stories about the sharks. But the main book about the trial, you can get directly from me, HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store, and it's a good book for you, and it explains everything that's going on, and it's a special, so I'm going to autograph it. Whitey's Dead, 10/30/18. It's a great Christmas gift.
Howie, you also keep your eye on Elizabeth, the Pretendian Warren, whose DNA test proved that she actually isn't Native American. Kind of like this Sayoc guy down in Florida. He was another Pretendian. What's your take on, right, does this hurt her chances, or does this, in the Democratic Party, embolden her to run for president in 2020?
I don't think it's possible that it can help her campaign for president. She's just doing a terrible job in this campaign. They had the final debate last night, And she brought in all these local yokel hacks, you know, who you're supposed, you know, if you bring them in, you say, here's Mayor Marty Walsh from Boston, Mayor Rivera from Florida, the president. She didn't even mention them all. But you know what she did? She swore on statewide TV. She used the word bleep hole, only she didn't edit it. I mean, you know, the Boston Globe, her local fanzine, keeps calling her. She's so intelligent. She's so smart. She was a professor at Harvard Law School. There is no evidence whatsoever of her ability to think on her feet or handle herself with any kind of extemporaneous questioning or ad-libbing. She's not ready for prime time. And the fact is that the Globe's own poll shows that she's only got 56% of the vote, you know, in their poll. And the Globe polls are never right. They're always like, you know, 8 to 10 points heavy for Democrats. I mean, I'm not saying she's going to lose to Jeff Thiel, the Republican candidate, but this is not an impressive campaign that she's running.
Elizabeth Warren has all the warmth and charisma of Hillary Clinton without the cackle and the moo-moo.
Right. No, she does. There's no question about it. The debate last week, there's a place called Bourne, Massachusetts, very well-known place in New England. There's a big bridge, you know, that leads to Cape Cod. There's a major college there, Mass Maritime Academy. She referred to Bourne, Massachusetts. She couldn't even pronounce the name of a town in her own state that she's been representing for 6 years. It's just amazing.
Hey, real quickly, Howie, I played basketball at Tennessee years ago. We were up in Boston playing in a tournament a lot of years ago, and we were on one of the trains trying to find our way back to the hotel, and they kept passing our stop. So like Elizabeth Warren, I guess we were mispronouncing it because we kept asking the people on the train, how come they're not stopping at Worcester? And finally a lady goes, it's Worcester. You ain't from here, are you?
Hey, Howie.
Yeah, I mean, there's several towns like that. There's a Western Massachusetts that's spelled L-E-C-E-I-S-T-E-R. I mean, we're just happy that she didn't go and have a debate in a place called Athol. God only knows how she would have pronounced that.
Hey, Howie, back to the Whitey Bulger murder. He was 89 years old. He had millions of dollars stashed away somewhere. He was a murderer, a bad, bad guy. He was beaten to death. He'd been transferred just recently to a prison in West Virginia. Apparently late Tuesday night, beaten to death, discovered Wednesday morning. What's your theory on who whacked him and why?
Well, I'm really surprised at what happened. I mean, we knew he was on his last legs, and what we had figured when they moved him away from Sumterville, Florida, that's where Corinna Brown is, by the way, the corrupt congresswoman for Jacksonville. That's the biggest prison in the system. We figured they were moving him to Springfield, Missouri. That's where a lot of those old mobsters died, including some of his old friends and associates. So we figured that when they put him in Oklahoma, he was headed for Missouri. But then they switched and he went to West Virginia. None of us can figure out what exactly they were doing, because the other big federal medical facility is in Devens, Mass. Air Mass. It's called Devens. And there's no way, though, they would ever be sending him back there, because everybody in Boston, including myself, you know, would have gone crazy if they'd been sending him back to spend the last days with his family. So nobody knows why he was in West Virginia, but apparently there was a guy, a mobster from Springfield who didn't like rats. He's in doing life without chance of parole. He's only 51, and he's not even a Greek, or he's not even an Italian or Irish. He's Greek. And he didn't like Whitey, and he didn't like rats, and he didn't like the guys who beat up women. So apparently he's the main suspect. And as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'm gonna start calling the Bureau of Prisons, and I'm gonna try to find out if I can make a contribution to his canteen fund. You know, a couple of people have already suggested that today. A couple of the survivors of the victims. I mean, you know, I don't want to overdo it, say I'm going to send him a ton of money, but, you know, I think he deserves a nice gratuity, you know, kind of like a waiter who's, you know, done a good job at a banquet for you. You know,
at least he needs a GoFundMe account, you know, a GoFundMe account like Dr. Elizabeth Blasey Ford has or something.
That's true. I mean, a GoFundMe account, his lawyer or his family should take it and send it to the canteen. If you know, those of us who just, you know, have a... have a rooting interest in Whitey coming to a bad end, wanted to give some money. I hadn't thought of that one. That's another option for us.
Howie, last question for you. I know you do your book tours. You do your sort of murder mystery evening sometimes. You're now on a Deplorables book tour. You've got Brian Kilmeade and a few others coming up there. If we were to put together a Howie Carr book adventure down here in Nashville, would you be willing to join us?
Absolutely. If you can, if we can get it, if we can sell enough books and sell enough tickets, I'll be glad to come down there.
Well, you know, we just talked to, before we talked to you, we talked to a guy from Rhode Island who moved down here to Tennessee because he was sick of the corruption of Rhode Island. I think you've got a built-in fan of people that used to listen to you that have moved to Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be on, even on DB on one of the radio stations down there. You know, I'm on a lot of iHeart stations here in New England, and I'd love to be. I used to listen to WLAC when I was a kid in Western Massachusetts, you know, when it was kind of a soul station back in the day. Tennessee Life and Casualty, I'm very familiar with the station.
Yeah, Jesse Jackson used to listen to it when he was growing up in Illinois as well. It had a huge huge reach. We're kind of like South Boston, Howie. We're just a little further south.
We're real South Boston.
We're Southies.
Yeah, well, they're South Boston, Virginia, too, you know.
Exactly.
There's a lot of South Boston, South Boston, up the mines around, anyway.
Howie Carr, great talking to you. Will you come and join us again sometime?
Absolutely, anytime. Just give me a call. Michael knows how to get me. And go to my website and order. The book is called Rat Man, and we have the Whitey's Dead Special.
Whitey's Dead Special, HowieCarrShow.com. Thank you, Howie Carr.